God bless you this morning in the marvelous, wonderful, precious, beautiful, awesome, glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. This morning, as I was meditating in the Lord's presence, I was hearing, thinking about, talking with Him, and just feeling an impression that the body of Christ today is very lacking in power. This is not a critical message. This is just a fact. It's the body of Christ. We are lacking in power. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was really emphasizing something to me in a unique kind of way. He reminded me of the scripture that says, many will come on the day of judgment, and they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick and they recovered, and do many wonderful works in your name? And he will tell them, depart from me, you are workers of iniquity. That same phrase is in Psalm 5:5. God hates all the workers of iniquity. When I began to understand the true message of the cross, I realized I, Jeff, is a worker of iniquity. I am a worker of iniquity. I realized every human being born of Adam, born of the first Adam, is a worker of iniquity. And when I looked at Psalm 5:5, I realized God is not very fond of me. He's not very fond of our fallen life. God hates all the workers of iniquity, and it doesn't matter how religious the first Adam is. It doesn't matter how much he gives up for God. It doesn't matter how hard he works for God. Jesus came and told the religious people, you travel the seas to win a convert. And that's expensive, friend, especially back then to travel the seas. Oh my goodness, can you imagine how much it would cost them to abandon their life and travel the seas to try to win people over to their religion? Jesus said, you do it. You take all that time, all that money, all that energy, and then when you do win somebody over to your line of thinking, you make them twice the son of hell as you yourself are. Goodness gracious. You talk about making the religious people mad. But religious Adams, if our natural life being religious and zealous and sold out does not make it righteous in any way, shape, or form, it is still a worker of iniquity. And here's what the Holy Spirit was impressing upon me. There's a few things we don't see when these people come before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils? Several things the Holy Spirit showed me they don't say. The first thing he showed me several years ago, they don't say, did we not preach the gospel? They don't say that. Recognize that. I believe that's Matthew 7. When you read that there, they do not say, but didn't we preach the gospel? Because they didn't. And the reason that they didn't is they didn't know it. They were preaching something that wasn't the gospel. Otherwise, they would definitely use that to defend themselves. But God, we preached the cross. We preached the gospel. No, they didn't. And if you go into almost any place right now where there are missionaries, especially American missionaries, most of the time they are not preaching the cross because they don't even know the true message of the cross. They're preaching Christianity, they're preaching morality, they're preaching believe in Jesus so you can go to heaven, but there's no depth, there's no understanding of the cross. And so when these people come up, they didn't understand the message of the cross. They didn't hate their own life. They didn't cling to the life of the last Adam as their only hope. And here Jesus is saying there's a man standing at a distance, beating upon his chest, saying, have mercy on me, a sinner, and he's justified. And here's this massive group of people. Many, many, it says, many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? This is a bunch of people, many people. And this group is not justified. And so this group who went everywhere doing all these works for God, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and they recovered, they did not get it. They didn't understand the truth. Why are they a worker of iniquity? Because they had bad behavior? No, they were actually presenting their behavior. Of course, they did it. Of course, every human being does. But they were presenting their good behavior to God. This is what we did for you. But no matter what we do for God, it doesn't change what we are. It doesn't change what we are. And the only way into the true kingdom of God is to realize what we are, to hate it and see what God did with it, and believe in what he is, Jesus. Believe in what the life of Jesus is. It's the only righteous life. We've got to abandon ours and cling to it and lay hold of it. And another thing, the Holy Spirit, it's a strange concept, but the Holy Spirit really emphasized, I believe it was really God. I'm in his presence, and it's just like his still small voice often, and it just lines up. And I really felt the Lord saying, they didn't raise the dead. And why would he say that? Because I believe that when we are religious, there are things that we can get into spiritually. There are certain things we can do, like lay hands on the sick and they recover. Jesus even told the Pharisees, they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, by the prince of devils, by Satan. They were accusing Jesus of being sent by the devil to cast out devils. And Jesus looked at them, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, and he said, then who do you guys cast them out through? Because they did. They did cast out devils. They did at times see people healed. They did at times experience supernatural power. When you look in the Old Covenant, all through, there's many times they experience supernatural power. But it didn't change what they are or what we are. It doesn't change what we are. If we go into the world and preach Jesus, even if we don't understand the cross, and we do it with our zeal and our passion, and we don't hate our own life, we are still going to see some level of spiritual power. We're still going to see some level of God helping people. Even delivering people. Religion often delivers people from destructive vices in their life. For example, alcoholism, somebody who's a drunk. The Bible doesn't preach against having a glass of wine in any way, shape, or form, but it does preach against drunkenness. And religion has delivered many people from drunkenness, many people from drug addiction, many people from all kinds of things, and help them to be a better productive human being. But listen, that doesn't save a person. Religion cannot save us. The only thing that can save us is faith in what he did. And we have to know what he did, believe what he did. And that's not possible, as far as I can see, without understanding what he did. It's in the knowing. That's one of the things. Oh, the Holy Ghost hit me today. Powerful. I was praying and I heard it's in the knowing. It is in the knowing. If you do not know why you had to die, it's in the knowing, friend. You have to know. You have to understand why you had to die. And the Lord will use all kinds of situations and circumstances to show it to you until you can handle it. He was with his disciples for 3 years and they couldn't bear the full weight of the truth. He said, I've got many things to tell you. You can't handle them yet. That's intense. He was with them for 3 years. There's things that if I told you, you would collapse. You can't handle the truth is what Jesus said after being with them for 3.5 years. So if God can get you to a place where you can handle seeing what you are, then you can understand why he had to come and put you to death. He didn't do it because he hates you as a being. You're a spirit. He loves you. He wants you to have the life of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be the life of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be one with Jesus Christ, a very member of his flesh and bones. He wants you seated at his right hand, ruling over the nations forever in the life of Jesus. When Christ, who is your life, appears. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to be swallowed up with life. You have life inside of you right now, but it's inside of an earthen vessel. You have to deal with your carnal man, your natural man, every day. Well, the end of this thing is when we don't have to deal with this carnal man anymore. We are swallowed up with life. What that means is that life that's inside of you now, that life of Jesus Christ, if you're born again. If you're not born again, it's not there. But if you're born again, the life of Jesus Christ is inside of you. But it's in your spirit, locked and tucked away, waiting to be manifested. And Jesus said, pray for the kingdom to come. The more you believe what he did, the more you take up your cross and deny yourself, the more you lay hold of his life by believing, by confessing, not trying to be good for God. Friend, that's you're not going to accomplish it. That's what the old covenant proved, so that we would stop doing that and start believing in the one that he sent. Oh, my goodness, friend. It's so wonderful and powerful. But the scary thing to me is that religion will not save you, even if it's zealous, even if it's connected to spiritual power. You can be anointed and go and preach all kinds of things, but not the genuine message of the cross. You can preach all kind of charismatic, powerful things. You could preach the Bible. You could preach the stories of the Bible. You could talk about how God's going to give you the victory and get everybody stirred up. And you could lay hands on the sick and see many of them recover. You can even cast out devils and still be completely, utterly lost. And in the dark, that is terrifying. That's terrifying because, oh my goodness, how many people do you know casting out devils and healing the sick? And even those that do, many of them are lost. They do not understand the cross. They don't hate their own life. They don't. As a matter of fact, they're serving God to promote their own life. They want God to bless their own life. They want God to put their life on the top. Man, when you really begin to understand the gospel, you start seeing just how, I'm going to give the devil a compliment. Sorry if you don't like that. But friend, there is no human being that comes even close to the intelligence of Satan. Not even close. Now, the life of Jesus, amen, is much greater. But Adam, the first Adam, friend, is a convert. Satan is his father. Satan is more intelligent, more seasoned. He is a master deceiver, a master liar. And what I guarantee you, what he has presented to the world as the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's the one often involved in a lot of our religion. It's not the gospel. I preached for 20 years before I understood, and I was radical. I'm sure there are people more zealous, but I didn't know any in my small circle of people. I didn't know anybody that was more zealous than I was. At 19, no exaggeration, I would pray 5-6 hours every day for a season, at least half a year. I always prayed. I never missed. I always prayed at least 5 hours a day, timing it. Always read at least an hour a day. Always read all Saturday, you know, fasting and praying every week, at least a couple days a week, fasting, always praying. And I didn't realize that I was doing all of it because there was a deception inside of me that God was going to bless my life. He was going to put me on the top. He was going to give me what I wanted. And I did not see that. I couldn't see it. Neither could Saul of Tarsus in the Bible when he was doing all those works for God, zealous and memorizing scriptures and preaching the scriptures to people and preaching the law. He couldn't see how his self-centered worker of iniquity life was really the one in charge. And so God had to open his eyes. Oh my goodness. And so, beloved, in Jesus' name, we need to understand the message of the cross. Why did he come? The reason the man that was standing at a distance, beating on his chest, saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner," was justified is because he got the true message. The true message, friend, is your life and my life and our parents' life and every life of every human being, not the Democrats, even the Republicans, not the left wing, even the right wing. We're all the same thing. Our life is a worker of iniquity. And we are so deceived that all of us think we are right. We think we're in the right group. We're in the more moral group. I know Christian Democrats that cannot stand Republicans. And they say Republicans don't care about the poor. And Republicans don't care about all kinds of things that God cares about. And they open the scriptures and start. And they are absolutely convinced that the right side is the wrong side. and the right side's convinced that the left side is the wrong side. And both of them have some things that are right, some moral things that human beings, it doesn't make any sense to a right-wing person. How can anybody who says they believe in God support a party that supports abortion or homosexuality? And that made perfect sense to me. I was very strong right-wing, very strong believing, you know, that I was right. And God had to open my eyes and show me. And all of my right, I was so polluted and so wrong and so judgmental and so harsh, you know. And really what I wanted was God to bless my life, take care of my life, put my life on the top. I couldn't see it. Only God could open my eyes. And he did it through continually pointing me to the cross, especially when I was going through pain and difficulty. And seeing my own life exposed, seeing my own doubt, my own fear, my own anger, my own cursing, my own, all the junk that comes out of our natural life when we get under enough pressure. Oh my goodness. If you get under enough pressure, you'll really see what you are. And God will allow that so that you'll hate it and you won't want it. And man, this is something, oh man, what I want to, in Jesus' name, we really need to pray. It's been on my heart. Pray for God to raise up workers to go into the harvest field, not workers of iniquity, not people who can just lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and who don't know the message of the cross, who don't deny themselves, who don't understand that their life is corrupt and they don't hate it, they don't reject it. No. We need to pray that God will raise up workers of righteousness. Those who understand the true message and go in humility and share with those who are broken. God has a new life for you. The one you were born with is corrupt and subject to decay and full of iniquity. And if you'll exchange, if you'll hate it, if you'll reject it, if you'll take up your cross, you can have the life of the last Adam. And oh, how much better it is. Praise the living God. I'll try to keep this short today, but I just wanted to share that with you this morning as I was meditating. It really spoke to my heart. I hope that God ministers to you today through that. You know, I don't want to be guilty of being a religious person, spending all my money and effort to try to serve God and please God, and then stand before him and be turned away as a worker of iniquity, as someone walking in the life of the first Adam, as someone who hasn't denied himself. He hasn't hated his own life. He doesn't come to the Father in Jesus' name alone. I was talking about this yesterday, ministering. Whenever we come to God, I'll close with this. The Lord showed me this years ago, and it just shook my bones. When you come to God in the name of Jesus, friend, you are coming to God as Jesus. You are coming to God in the life of Jesus. The way God helped me understand this is he showed me how shallow We use his name. We say, when we pray a prayer, even over our biscuits, Lord, bless these biscuits. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the name of Jesus, friend, is not some kind of formal ending of a prayer. To do something in Jesus' name is to do something in Jesus' place. And this concept can be seen in the days of old, where the kings, Esther, where the ring was given to Mordecai or whatever, the kings would take the signet ring. The signet ring represented the king's authority, and he would give that to his right-hand man, his most trusted, whatever you call it, servant or assistant, his most trusted assistant. And whoever had that ring represented the king. Anywhere they went, they represented the king. They went in the king's name, not their own. Mordecai couldn't go somewhere and say, hey, I'm here in the name of Mordecai. You got to give me this and this. They'd say, get out of here. No. He showed the ring. This is not Mordecai you're dealing with. This is the king you're dealing with. I'm here in the name of the king, Xerxes or whoever. I'm here in the name of the king. And when somebody came with the signet ring in the name of the king, it was the king. And the people had to see that person as the king, and they had to respond to that person as the king, or they would be put to death for disobeying the king. This is what it means to come to the Father in the name of Jesus. You are coming in the name of Jesus, in the life of Jesus. You're coming in Jesus. When you knock on the door of heaven and you say, I am here in the name of Jesus. Friend, whoever you are, in my situation, it's Jeff. This is not Jeff knocking on heaven's door. Jeff cannot receive anything from heaven. Jeff is a worker of iniquity. He had to die. According to the Bible, he did die. Oh, thank God. Now I can come to the Father in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jeff's been taken out of the way. He's been crucified. So now I can come to, this is what it means to come boldly. It doesn't mean to come arrogantly in your natural man. Oh my goodness, what a pollution of God's word. To come boldly in the flesh? Oh my. That's about the worst thing we could ever do. To come boldly because of the blood of Jesus is to understand if one man died for all, then all men died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm coming, Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm coming in the life of Jesus, believing what you've done, leaving Jeff behind. Oh, my goodness, I can come boldly because I know what he's done. I know what he's done. So to come to the Father in the name of Jesus, friend, it sounds almost sacrilegious because people don't really preach the cross. It is actually coming to the Father as Jesus. Friend, there's only one life that the Father accepts. I could show that to you if I had time. Most of you listening to these devotions understand this already. But there's only one life that can come to the Father. And it's not the one that came from your mom and dad. It's the one that came out of heaven. This is why the life that came out of heaven said, none has seen the Father except for the one who came out of the Father. This is why the one that came out of heaven said, no one has ascended into heaven except for the one that came out of heaven. You see, in the Bible even says when we die or whenever Christ comes back, when death bows, we are swallowed up with the life. When Christ, who is our life, appears. You see, only the life of Christ, only the life of Jesus is not a worker of iniquity. Only the life of Jesus can enter into the kingdom of God. Only his life. And the only way you can have his life is to reject your own. There will be many people. Ooh, I hate to close with this because it's open in the can. There will be many people who are saved through the destruction of their flesh, through seeing what they are, through standing at a distance and beating upon their breast and saying, have mercy on me, I'm a worker of iniquity. But that doesn't mean they will qualify as an overcomer or that they will rule the nations with him. If you look in Revelation 19 through 21, you'll see something very interesting. The new earth will have many people in it. The nations of them that are saved, it says, live outside the gates. They're not in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is what we call heaven. The reason Christians believe in going to, quote, heaven with golden streets and pearly gates is because the Bible tells us this city is being prepared as a bride to be given to Christ. It will be adorned with the righteousness of the saints. Those who overcome will sit with him on his throne and rule the nations of them that are saved forever. So there is a overcoming group of people who live in the city with Jesus Christ. The rest of the people that are saved, which are masses of people, they live in the nations of the new earth. They are not living in the New Jerusalem. They send delegations to the New Jerusalem to take the treasures that they get out of the new earth. Like here, we have treasures. We have gold and silver and oil and all these different kinds of things. In the new earth, there will be many treasures and wealth. And the Bible says in Revelation, it says that the kings of the nations of those that are saved will have delegations, and they will bring the wealth and the treasures of the new earth to the New Jerusalem as offerings. Oh my goodness, what a new earth and a new heaven. Man, what is it going to be like? Unbelievable. The new Jerusalem itself is over 1,200 miles high. Man, the space shuttle orbits at 200. My goodness, that means the New Jerusalem is at least six times. It's 1,200 to 1,400 miles, depending on how you look at it. 12 to 1,400 miles high, the New Jerusalem. So it's tall. It's six to seven times taller than the space shuttle's orbiting. So the atmosphere will be much more massive. The earth, the new earth will be much bigger and not have a sea and have all of these unbelievable wealth and treasures in it. Oh my goodness. But friend, not everybody qualifies. But here's what's so sad, and to wrap this up. A massive group of people will be turned away as workers of iniquity, who cast devils out, who laid hands on the sick, who lived their lives doing religious things for God. They'll be turned away. And many people who said, God have mercy on me, I'm a disaster, will be saved. And if they don't understand and they didn't overcome, they'll be saved by that recognition and that understanding and that prayer and that belief. But they won't be in the New Jerusalem. But at least they won't be in hell. There'll be a bunch of religious people in hell and a bunch of people who died because they destroyed themselves, but they, in the process, they began to see what they really were, and they really genuinely cried out from the depths of their being, God have mercy on me. I can't do anything right. I'm a worker of iniquity. Lord, I don't have any hope without you. And that will save them. Man, oh my goodness, totally different than what we see with our eyes. That's why we're not supposed to judge with our eyes. We're not supposed to judge with what we see on the outside. Because we see religious people doing well, we think they're on the way to heaven. We see the worldly people that are lost and dying and going through all kinds of pain, and we think they're on the way to hell. And we have no idea which one's on the way where. Only God does. Only God does. Oh my goodness, beloved. May God bless you today with this word. In the name of Jesus, and most of all, may you understand the message of the cross, because you and I have an opportunity to overcome by the blood of the Lamb what he's accomplished, by what we confess with our mouth, and by not loving our lives even unto death. By not loving our own lives even unto death, we've got an opportunity to be in that city. Now, we can't accomplish this by our zeal and our works. The only way we can participate in this is by believing in the one that he sent and understanding what he did and why he had to do it. Oh, my goodness. Thank God for sending the eternal life out of heaven down to us so we can believe in it and not believe in ourselves. Oh, beloved, God bless you today in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.